Welcome back to the Gene Smith Podcast, where we sit down each month to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of Ohio State athletics. This is episode number 2. My name is Ben Waite, and I am joined once again by our fearless leader, Gene Smith. Gene, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ben. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
Happy to be here. In this episode, we will be discussing some of the national events that have taken place over the last month and the expanded Ohio State Sports Psychology Department that helps our student-athletes address their mental health needs. So, Gene, I'd like to welcome you back. Obviously, a lot has happened since our last episode. Didn't know if you had any thoughts that you wanted to share or anything that you wanted to open up with.
No, we've just been fortunate this fall, thus far. All of our soccer programs have started back up. Obviously, football started back up, women's volleyball, cross country, and our 219 freshmen have transitioned in. So we're pretty good shape and ready to get going for the year.
Fantastic. A lot of good things happening here on Ohio State's campus. Obviously, the very unfortunate events that occurred this month in El Paso and then right down the road in Dayton impacted a number of people across the country. But Gene, could you share with our listeners maybe how these things could have potentially impacted our student athletes?
Yeah, it's really such a sad tragedy, and it's a sad commentary on our society and where we are today. And for us, it was very important for us to make sure that we did an assessment of our student athletes and determined if any of them had family members or friends who were impacted in those particular areas. We had a few that were from the Dayton area, didn't necessarily have relationships, but certainly familiar with that area and the surroundings. So we went through that process, but it also caused us to pause and really think through what we should do for our student athletes and our staff and try and make sure that we're prepared to help them deal with such tragedies and then help our staff be able to deal with something that may occur in our environment that they have to deal with. We have a huge responsibility around all of our athletic events. So rethinking our security and how we handle security and all of our risk areas where we think we might be exposed. So we've done another deep dive on that with our public safety and law enforcement units. And so there's a myriad of things that as a result of that, that we had to pay attention to and focus on in a little different way. And those risks were always there, but it just heightens it when those type of things happen. So we're being very, very diligent around those areas that I talked about.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, you know, we're constantly trying to figure out how we can help our student athletes address their own mental health needs. And that's why today we wanted to bring in somebody from our own sports psychology department. We have Dr. Jamie Houle. Dr. Houle was or has been a sports psychologist at Ohio State for 2 years now. He provides performance and mental health enrichment to our OSU and community athletes. Dr. Houle was a gymnast for 18 years, and at OSU, he was an All-American in the floor exercise. He was part of the teams that won the 2001 NCAA team championship and a couple of Big Ten championships. He has also worked with student athletes at Maryland, Auburn, Texas A&M, and Wisconsin. Jamie, thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you very much for this opportunity. I look forward to being able to help out however I can.
Absolutely. So, Jamie, what sort of resources do we have here available at OSU for our student athletes after events like the ones that happened this past month?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very exciting. So as of August 1st, we have 4 full-time mental health professionals for the student athletes. And the main emphasis there was to be able to create access for the student athletes to support them in a more holistic way. And so a lot of the student athletes have access, most importantly, to one of their athletic trainers, and the athletic trainers have our contact information. And so anytime they're aware of being in distress, the relationship with the medical staff, coaches, they're able to reach out to the sports psych staff. And we're able to, you know, we give them our cell phones. I mean, we understand that athletics is a 24-hour day, 365 days a year kind of gig, and so we are accessible, and so we're here for them if they need to talk.
Absolutely, that's been fantastic, Gene. Jamie mentioned that we recently expanded our sports psych program here at OSU. Right. Can you talk a little bit about how that decision came about?
Yeah, no, we've been talking about it for a while and trying to create a situation where we have more bodies so that those bodies can embed themselves with their athletes. Athletes could get comfortable with them and be have a relationship where they ultimately can feel comfortable going to talk with them. And so we started that this summer, trying to figure out budgetarily how we can make it happen, and made it a priority. And Jamie and his group did a marvelous job of finding additional people who fit the profile of what we're looking for. We wanted people who would fit our culture, who our athletes would resonate with. And the backgrounds that they've been able to attract is just phenomenal. They're great people. So we've started talking about it earlier in the year, but really this summer we hunkered down on it. It's important to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very important and timely issue to be addressing with our student athletes. Jamie, what sort of mental health issues or concerns or you know, things that are topics are you addressing with our student athletes in your work?
Yeah, you know, right off the top, anxiety is actually overtaken depression as the number one presenting concern for the student athletes. So anxiety and depression are usually right there at the top. Not to say that every student athlete that comes in has that going on, but those are more common than not. Now is a very unique time in our history. The pressure that the student athletes are under is overwhelming, and even since I was in college in a long time ago, 2004, but the social media presence and being felt like they're being watched all the time, mm-hmm. And having people that don't even know them maybe even commenting on their performance or other things, just feels tremendously stressful. And everybody's very high achieving, and so they're wanting no blips in the radar, so wanting all good things, and we know that that doesn't happen. So we're trying to help build the resilience for the student athletes, be able to have them transition skills that they use in their sport, like when they fall down, they get back up, and how we can help them do that in life too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so critical. You know, we've watched that anxiety, depression issue for quite some time, and you know, I have a thing, I meet with all the teams, I'm doing that now, and one of the things I've always told our student athletes is they should never put their head on a pillow at night, worry about something we can help them with. And we have a circle of care around them that is just phenomenal and probably unprecedented, which includes our sports psychologists. And so Jamie and his team really help us see what we don't see around our student athletes, and then they become a resource. A student athlete might not want to talk to a coach, they might not want to talk to a strength coach, they might not want to talk to a trainer, might not want to talk to an academic advisor, but mm-hmm. they might be willing to talk to our sports psychologists.
Jamie mentioned social media. What role mm-hmm. do you see social media playing with our student athletes, and how does it impact their mental health?
I think Jamie said it well. I mean, they feel like they're being watched all the time. They feel like they need to be a part of that ecosystem in the social media space. And I think the other piece is just that it's affected their verbal communication skills. When I meet with the teams, I talk to our student athletes about when they have conflict resolution. They can't do that through a text message. They can't do that through Instagram. They have to have a conversation, because someone can't feel your emotions through a text message. So it might be taken in an inappropriate way or just taken wrong. So you have to verbalize your concern. And so I remember the first time I had a case where a student athlete was yelling at someone across the room, and I had this vision of that student athlete standing up and that other person sitting down or standing up, and there was somebody yelling, and no, that wasn't it. It was a text message in all caps. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm definitely too old for this. It's just a whole new ball game. But technology / social media have really taken some personality out of our children. And so we need to find a way to help them understand. You need to have a conversation. And that relates to healthy relationships, which I'm sure Jamie and his staff have dealt with some of those issues in that space as well.
Certainly trying to get them to kind of retrain some of their habits. Jamie, we obviously do a lot here in the athletic department to help our student athletes train physically. We're watching their nutrition. We're doing strength and conditioning. How are you helping them kind of train themselves mentally to deal with the stressors that they have in their lives?
Yeah, I mean, specifically related to that, about 2 years ago, we developed a program called Scarlet and Grit, which is like a resiliency training program for the student athletes, and it was tremendously supported by Gene Smith, and so actually making most all student athletes come to it. And what we did there is we broke that program down by classes, so freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, and senior, and we recognized that each of those has unique stressors. And what we did is we tried to show them that, well, one, that there's unique stressors, right? So a freshman is not necessarily super concerned about graduation and a job, so that's unique. But then we also tried to tie in that there are common factors that everybody's experiencing, like pressures from parents or relationship breakups and that kind of stuff. So we had this commonality, as well as throughout multiple sports. So a field hockey player could see that a diver is experiencing something very similar. And then what we did is we made sure that at the end of every session they had three solid coping skills that they could leave with. So a positive psychology coping skill, like gratitude, a mindfulness coping skill, and then also a cognitive behavioral coping skill. So we wanted them to leave and go, you know, you can't tell me that you don't have at least three skills. And then that's in addition to all the individual work that we've done in a confidential setting where we're processing difficult things with them, having them normalize their experience, like not feeling that they're completely alone in that experience. And then one of the things we're very excited about is we're hoping to get going, hopefully as soon as the spring, is our group program, where I would love to start to have athletes talking to athletes about their experiences, and we know that that can be helpful.
Yeah, that's the type of programs that organically emerge. Sometimes you have to structure it. Sometimes they emerge organically, like we had last fall, where we had, I think it was two or three student athletes wanted to host a mental health summit.
Yeah.
And we didn't make it mandatory. You know, we have about 1,000 athletes. We didn't make it mandatory, and over 500 showed up.
Amazing.
And it was completely ran by these student athletes, and it was an admission and a demonstration of their awareness, which I think is very important for us, for our student athletes to be aware that it is an issue, and then take ownership. That's huge. So you wanting to be a catalyst to create those group conversations, I think you'll be wildly successful, because based upon where our student athletes are, and I think that's an awesome idea.
Providing tools and putting things in the kids' hands that they can use to try and help themselves. And then, Jamie, can you tell us a little bit more about those coping skills, or how would in what sort of scenario would they use any of those coping skills?
Yeah. So. One of the ones I really like is like when you take a concern or a problem and you try to change the way you look at it from a problem to a challenge, you know. And so the example would be, I got this exam coming up that's really difficult. It's going to be a midterm over half of the semester. You know, wouldn't it be cool if I could get an A on that exam, as opposed to oh gosh, like, what am I going to do? Like, I don't know. Like, if I fail this, then this will happen. Then this will. It's more like, you know what? This would be amazing. And then I get to show X, Y, and Z person about this. And then when we have an attitude like that, we are much more likely to approach the problem than avoid it, which we know almost always ends in bad things. So that would be kind of the fancy term for that is a cognitive reframe. You're reframing this difficulty as a challenge, which they face every day, right? I mean, you know, it's third and eight, and you know, like the game's on the line. they don't go, okay, you know, put him in, don't put me in. You know, we hope anyway.
Right? No, that's right.
So the idea is taking those skills that they use every single day and go, you know, you have that skill set. Why don't we use that for your exam?
It's perfect. That's exactly right.
That sounds amazingly helpful. I know there's no subbing out here at all.
No, no subbing.
Gene, from your perspective, how have you seen the role of mental health and sports psychology change in the NCAA at the institutional level?
Well, you know, the NCAA has really put a focus on this, and they've put out some recommendations and some best practices and some guiding principles. But it really falls locally in what you do, assessing your environment, trying to establish your needs, and then, you know, ultimately putting in place what your needs are. So it's nationally, it's the top topic among athletic directors when we get together, and just trying to make sure that all of us are sharing what we do at our individual institutions and trying to encourage others to do it. Last year, 2018, at the January convention, the Pac-12 proposed a piece of legislation around mental health and student-athlete welfare. And the legislation basically demands institutions respond to this. And I remember sitting there thinking, you know, we don't really need legislation for this because you ought to be doing it, period. However, it created consciousness in a different way. And so nationally, it's a major issue, not just with athletes, but all students in general. But in our space, it's a major issue, and everyone's talking about it nationally.
It's good to hear that people are raising awareness of it at the national level. Jamie, here locally, what does it mean to you to work in a department that's actively investing in sports psychology?
It's unbelievable. It's so amazing. Like I tell people, this went from a dream job to some kind of fantasy, you know, because I to be a former athlete here and to be able to come back and now to lead this department is unbelievable. So it's really crazy because it's already working. I mean, it started August 1st, and 2 days ago we hit the ground running with a situation where I literally would have had to be in three places at the same time, and we were able to send the staff where they needed to go, and we handled it. I feel very, very fortunate. And I brag about it all the time. I go and I talk to the teams and I say, because I'm competitive, I say, you know, we're probably easily top five places in the country that have this many people that are designated just for mental health for student athletes. I mean, people have counseling centers and that's amazing, and Ohio State's is amazing. But to think that we have four people who, as somebody once said to me, wake up in the morning thinking about athletics and go to bed at night thinking about athletics is just unreal.
We have a few hundred of those, by the way.
Yeah, we have a few of those. Just a few.
Plus, every time we bring somebody on board and they already know the words to Carm in Ohio, it makes a lot easier. So we don't have there's no indoctrination needed. Jamie, obviously it takes a pretty close relationship for you guys to do what you do with our student athletes. How do you go about getting into their comfort zone? How do you build that relationship so that they feel like they can come to you if they do have an issue?
Absolutely. Well, you can't see it here on the podcast, but I don't look like a psychologist, right? I don't have the long white beard and analyzing dreams. You know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to break down the stigma associated, right? And so I try not to be too fancy when I'm, you know, going in there and talking about really serious things. I like to use humor. I use, you know, honestly, I use a lot of my background as an athlete because I know, you know, not only do I know what it's like to win championships, I know what it's like to win championships wearing this scarlet and gray. So I know the expectations here. And so to be able to break down that that stigma by also using the relationship I have to this university. And then when we did these new hires, you know, we looked for folks' ability to articulate mental health stuff in a way that student athletes can hear it. And the folks that we have hired do that very well. I mean, they come from a place where they get it. And the student athletes can feel that pretty immediately. They're not stuffy folks. They're not the I feel like I'm bashing traditional psychologists. But
you're gonna get a lot of phone calls.
So. I know.
His email address.
I've been studying dreams all my life.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, sports psychology is very non-traditional when it comes to that, and so being out and about and just trying to show that we're, you know, normal people helps with that relationship building process.
Well, when we hired Jamie, and first actually when he applied, we were thrilled because as he shared, his background brings him instant credibility with our athletes. I mean, it's, you know, he's a national champion, you know, he's a Buckeye, all that. And so he hasn't forgotten his experience here. And so he understands, you know, if you're an elite athlete and you're chasing that national championship and you're on the verge of that, he understands what that means. And if there's failure, he understands what that means because he's been there. And, you know, what was your worst score on the floor?
7-6.
Yeah, so, you know, which is a decent score, but still, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, he gets it. And so I think that credibility helps him connect. And he's genuine and authentic, as are the other sports psychologists. I mean, that's what athletes want. They want people who are genuine and authentic. They can tell if you're plastic right away.
Mm-hmm. Instant credibility. That 7-6 just proves that people don't forget.
That's so, my perfectionism right there.
Exactly. Yeah. So you were both student athletes in your college days. How has sports psychology changed since you were suiting up?
I'll go first and then turn over to Jamie. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I grew up in a time where if you were having a bad practice, coaches didn't even know why, and they go tell you to, you know, go run stadium stairs.
That was the nicest thing they could tell you.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. Go run stadium stairs. And then, you know, they expect you to figure it out by the time you got back and then threw you right back into practice. And so this is why today we never want punitive measures as to try and modify behaviors. You know, it's you got to have different tactics. And so you know, that's what we faced back in the day was go run a mile or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so it's just totally different today. You can't do that to young people today. One, it's not right. And two, you're not going to be effective.
I think for me, the shift was you have a problem, go see the sports psychologist. To now, you want to be the best, why don't you go see the sports psychologist and get an edge, right? So when I was a sophomore in high school, I won my first national championship. And then I tried to defend that, which I feel like is one of the hardest things to do in sport. And I totally choked. I feel okay saying that now. But my coach, he cornered me and he goes, listen, you got to change something about what you're doing or you're never going to be successful. And so I got dragged kicking and screaming to see a sports psychologist. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was a bunch of, you know, voodoo. And he accepted that, and then he changed the way I was thinking. And he's the first person I called when I won my second national championship. And I said, we did it, you know. So that shifted my perspective from I have a problem, and this is punitive, to now why would you not want to see the sports psychologist? Why would you not want to see the nutritionist or X, Y, and Z to just elevate what your skill set is? And we see that now in the most elite, right? I mean, LeBron James talked about in his book, seeing a sports psychologist, you know, Michael Phelps and all these elite, like people who you would never challenge their backgrounds have seen a sports psychologist. And so now it's about getting better. It's not that you have a problem.
That's true. So true.
Well, even in the time that I've been here in the last 10 years, the landscape of Ohio State athletics has changed enormously from the expansion of sports psychology to all of the work that we've done to provide upgraded facilities and everything like that. We'll talk a little bit more about how that landscape has changed in our next episode, and we'll also discuss our plans for the athletic district and how those plans have come into fruition. But for now, that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast. We'd like to thank Dr. Jamie Houl for joining us today. Jamie, a lot of really great insights and information shared with our public. Gene, thank you again for your time. We will be back the first Monday of each month. You can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Please feel free to rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. I'd like to give a special thanks to everybody that listened to our first episode.
Yes, thank you so much.
Really appreciate your support and positive feedback. I hope that you will continue to help us grow and improve. For Gene Smith and everyone here at the Ohio State Department of Athletics, I am Ben Waite. Thank you, and go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Thanks,
go Bucks.
Ben.
Thanks.